invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 7, our study here of the book of Romans. And we've been going through this book. We're at chapter 7 here. The condition of man has been thoroughly brought forth by the apostle. We are depraved. We seek the Lord on our own. We just don't get it right. We read about that even in Isaiah this morning. Man is justified by faith in the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ, and justified by our Lord. It's only by Him that we have salvation. It's not of any works of righteousness which we have done. And being justified by faith, in chapter 5, we have peace with our Lord. And there's growing to be done. We are to grow. The sin came by Adam, but life has come by the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. This grace, this favor of the Lord, being so great, and being caused to come about or introduced is the word that or commended is the word in the scripture. Introduced is the way that we can maybe understand it a little better. If our sin introduces the grace of the Lord, then wouldn't it make sense for us just to go ahead and sin more, that there might be more grace that abounds? And no, God forbid, that's not the way that it works. The Lord brought the law that we might see our guilt before Him, and in that show us our need, and show us that we have need of something, a salvation outside of ourselves. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We ended up last time in chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. Sin equals death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We come here to chapter 7 and verse number 1. In this chapter, we're going to see about the law, and we're going to see about death. Death, if you will, good and bad. Well, normally we would say there's nothing good about death, okay? But in this chapter, it's brought out that there are some good ways to be dead, okay? And so we're going to see that death, both bad or evil and good. Okay, it starts off here. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now listen to this. Listen to how he uses this. As long as a man's living, okay, the law's got dominion over him. Here's an example. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. Not so long as they are married, but as long as he lives, okay? But if the husband be dead, okay, now, from the standpoint of the flesh, that's a bad one, okay? And that's what sin has done to us. And that's not the subject, but I want you to pay attention how many times death is referred to in this chapter, okay? I find that interesting. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So when they're married, they're bound by the law. The Lord says marriage is for life. And so when they marry, the law of God and the law of God that He's made in marriage is that one husband, one wife for life. Okay? Not to be what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Right? The Lord Jesus reinforced. Okay? But if the husband dies, that law doesn't pertain. Okay, because why? The husband is dead. He's gone. He's gone from this earth. Okay? So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Okay? So if she divorces that man and then marries another, oh, this would apply to him. And it's not just to the women. It would apply either way. If the man would divorce his wife and then marry another, he would be called an adulterer. She would be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. Why? That law doesn't speak to anything that she is found in. Okay, it's the law of marriage, if you will. If you're not married, then that law doesn't apply. Okay. She is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So if they're married, the husband dies, that law of marriage doesn't apply anymore. She can be married to another man, and it's not the case that she's an adulteress, not the case that he is an adulterer. Okay, it's not just not woman specific. Okay, wherefore, because of that, because of these things, or in this example, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Ah, okay, so we're, and here's that word, dead again. It's interesting how often this is mentioned through this chapter, dead. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Okay, so the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. But now the body of Christ has come into this picture, okay? And we are dead to the law, okay? Now, understand this in the right way. And one thing that I would say about this chapter is that we are told in this chapter reasons, not excuses, okay? We're told reasons that some things are the way they are. But we're not given excuses, okay? We're told reasons. We should not be presumptuous because of the reasons. We are not given in this chapter excuses, okay? So we need to have right understanding of the way things are. So ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him. There is a sense, and I've told this since I've become pastor here at Omsted Baptist Church and dealing with folks that seem to be cold or wayward or whatever, there is a sense in that we are married to our Lord. We are married to him. We've been buried with him. We've been planted with him in this thing of being added to one of his churches. We are, in a sense, married to him. All right? I mean, we got a connection with our Lord. It's just not a casual friendship, okay? But this is, if you will, this is a life and death relationship, isn't it? He saved us. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So see, We're under the dominion of law, but then the body of Christ enters in here, and he fulfilled the law for us and gave his life and took care of that for us. We are dead to the law, and we are alive to Christ, all right? We are married to him. If you will, the example that he's given, we're dead to our old husband, the law. And we're married to this other one. Okay? We're married to Christ. And we are, as Christ is raised, so are we raised that we should live an old, dead, dull life? No. But we should live to bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit that will remain unto the honor and glory and praise of our Lord. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, that is the Lord Jesus, even to him who is raised from the dead himself, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Every verse has had this about death. Now let's talk about it, about that. Okay, a man dying from the fleshly standpoint, bodies dying is it's sad, okay? But for we who are saved, death has become the final release to be with our Lord. The Lord's taken that, and a thing that is naturally we fear, the thing we fear the most for the child of God has been turned into the release of being with our Lord. We're relieved finally of this old flesh. Someone would say, well, we just all ought to go out and kill ourselves. No, you don't go out and drink a cocktail looking for Hale Bopp on the backside of the moon or that planet. Remember that guy out in California that led those people to do that some years ago? No, We are to live for our Lord. But one day when he takes us out of here, we'll be released, won't we? And death will be released. He's abolished death for us. And then talking about a husband being dead in verse number 3, fine, that's the same. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. That's a good thing to be dead to. Not that the law has dominion over me. I'm not talking about we should be lawless. But rather than the law having dominion over us, which is better? The law having dominion over us or Christ having dominion over us? I think I like Christ, don't you? Amen? Amen? Now, the Christ having dominion over us, that's great. And you know what? It lines up just right that Christ is very much interested in us doing well and pursuing righteousness, isn't he? And so the Lord Jesus having dominion over us and us being submissive, okay, there's a marital term, right? Submissive. We being submissive to Christ, you know what? We won't be found lawless. We'll be found obedient because the Lord, he enjoys righteousness and he calls us. That's that fruit, bringing forth fruit unto God. Spoke about an example of fruit in the last chapter. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, plural, which were by the law, they were made known by the law, did work in our members, all right, our body, to bring forth fruit unto death. That's already been discussed. That's what we did. We sinned with our bodies. Pardon me. Starts with our mind. Sin with our bodies. And the fruit that yields, what grows of that tree, what grows of that those actions and of our, this body, it's all death, death, death. All of it leads to death. All of it begs for more unrighteousness. But now, verse 6, we are delivered from the law. That's what being married to Christ does. We are delivered from the law that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Okay? So, verse number four, we're dead to the law. That's good. Verse number 5, fruit unto death. That's bad. But now we were delivered from the law that being dead wherein we were held, that was bad to be held by the law and it have dominion over us, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. One that would try to keep the law. What is it the scripture says that the one that engages the law has to keep the law. And if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty of all. Okay. It explains and shows us our terrible plight. Newness of spirit. Which do you like? Newness of spirit? A dominion by Christ? Or oldness of the letter? I got to do this. I got to do it this way. Got to follow after this. The dominion of the law isn't good, is it? Because we can't do that. Only Christ could do that. What shall we say then? Verse number 7. He asks this question. Is the law sin? Is the law then bad? You know, I mean, if the law does this to us, if the law doesn't really maybe show a promise of help and hope, but then it's impossible. If the law shines all this light on us, is the law sin? And once again, God forbid. No, it's not. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, desire, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And I find it interesting that the apostle would refer to that one. The last of the Ten Commandments. The first four dealing with our relationship with God, right? And all having to do with things that we should do or not do in the flesh. And then the next five commandments having to do with our relationships one with another in the flesh. But then we come down to the 10th. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff, thy neighbor's family, thy neighbor's anything. The seed, it's really that 10th commandment is the seed of all the others, isn't it? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But you know what? A man gets to wanting another god besides the God that he's got, the true God. And so he chases after something else. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. But you know what? He says, I've had people tell me this. I need more to help me worship. Well, when you worship in the flesh, you're going to need more to help you worship. Right? Because why? It's devoid of the Spirit, right? Can't worship the Lord. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, you know, I want the conversation of the world. I don't want that pure conversation and that. I want something else. See how covetousness does that? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But I've got grass to cut on the Lord's day. See what I'm saying? We want something else. And you can go right down the line and that would be the case. And I think with the Apostle Paul, I think that the Lord just used, I wonder, and maybe one day we'll get it answered, but I believe the Apostle, as he persecuted the people of God and he persecuted the church of God and wasted it, that he was covetous of their stand and their peace that they had in the Lord as he oppressed them so. Stephen there, as he held the coats of those that stoned and Stephen, as he took care of the clothes of those that they took off their coats and took off their cloaks as they could, so they could get a better throw in at Stephen. And Stephen is there saying, just like the Lord, Father, forgive them. And I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. They gritted their teeth and ran on him. And Paul, I believe, as he looked on at the saints, Stephen and our other brothers and sisters in Christ that he oppressed, he knew he did not have what they have. He had all the law and he had his self-righteousness. He had that of Judaism that he followed, but he did not have that peace with God. And so he knew that the law really tore him down there. And the thing is, it wasn't an external thing. It's really where it's all the business is at. It's an internal thing, isn't it? It's an issue of the heart, an issue of the soul. And so he says, what shall we say then is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust or desire, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, and that sin is brought to light, sin is brought to bear there before the sinner, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Now, this concupiscence is talking about desire, but it's like the next step beyond lust. It's a desire for that which is forbidden. It's a desire. It's just a driven and a drive beyond that. And he said, what the law did and what the commandments did, it brought all that I wanted and I longed for and it was forbidden. And I desired that. I desired that so badly. It's an occupier of the mind. It's a distraction to the things and the duties of life. One is by that concupiscence just driven, if you will, or allow themselves to be driven towards that wicked, evil thing, no matter what it may be. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. And you know what? Sin needs to be made alive. Sin doesn't need to be harbored. Sin doesn't need to be encouraged. But sin needs to be seen for what it is. And the law does that. The law, an honest look at the law, needs to be there. And so sin was dead. That was bad. It needed to be made alive or need to be brought to the forefront. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The law revealed that he was dead, that we are dead spiritually. That when the law comes up and the commandment is there and we're honest with it before God, sin is at hand and sin is great, and we are dead indeed. We're helpless before the Lord. We really see things the way they are. We're covered up, ate up with sin. We got no ability but towards sin, and we're there. And we're there as a soul laden down with sin, laden down with condemnation, laid open before the Lord with no excuse, right? We're inexcusable. That's been pointed out. And the commandment which was ordained to life, or if you will, the commandment, verse 10, which to life I found to be unto death. Because by itself, all the law can do is just reveal. All the law can do is show that sin's really, really alive in the sinner. And it's a bad, bad, bad shape. But praise be to God, the message doesn't leave us that way, does it? It goes on to say, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. See, Paul thought he would have righteousness to obey and present before the Lord if he kept the law. But then he knew just as well that you got to keep it all. And all the ceremony, all the sacrificial stuff, all those first nine, he could do that just fine. Now, Brother Jim, we understood that the Apostle Paul maybe even killed some of the saints. But he thought he was doing it as a service to God, just like the Lord Jesus said. He said, there'll be those that'll kill you thinking that they do God a service. That's what Paul thought he was. He was doing. But then this one of covetousness, it slew him. It convicted him. Sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Because of this, wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just and good. He said, you know what? It's what I needed. I needed to be told the truth. I needed to face the truth. I needed to know truly about my sin and the way of righteousness that I had undertaken for myself. I needed to be revealed so I would understand where I really am. That's what the sinner needs, is the truth. The truth. And that is the purpose of the law. Wherefore the law is holy, the commandment holy, just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Well, God forbid. No. Emphatically, the Lord says no. Why? Because with the law, the Lord just doesn't stop there. See, he just doesn't stop there. He just doesn't stop there telling us about our condemnation and our guilt and our depravity and our wickedness and our sin. He never just stops right there, does he? Wherefore the law is holy, commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death, right? There's death again. In me by that which is good, that sin might be, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. Really needed to see how bad the sin is. The sinner that says, well, you know, my sin's not that bad. You know, I go to church and I don't talk bad, and I don't watch bad stuff, and I don't drink and cuss and carry on and do all those wicked things that other people do. See, salvation doesn't come by comparing yourself to anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sin, each one of our sins, is just as bad as the other. And we may have more, as a brother would say, we might have more rot manifested in our life and some things that we've pursued and done. But you can't point at somebody else and justify yourself. Because the gauge is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we indeed all fall short of him. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, the law is good, but it reveals sin. And remember, sin equals death. That sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. It's not a white lie. It's not white sins or little sins. It's sins by which we have offended our God and Creator. You have offended your God and Creator. For we know that the law is spiritual, verse 14, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The disparity, the contrast, the law from a righteous and holy God who cannot tolerate sin in any way. He's long-suffering, but he won't be long-suffering forever. The law comes from him. It is a spiritual affair. It is a spiritual matter. It deals with the things of the soul. But we are just this old flesh, and we are covered up, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. Okay, and he's going to get in here about dealing with the old man and the new man, okay? The natures that are at hand. Before we're saved, all we've got is the old man. The body and the soul's in control. And all that is just bad. It's just bad. The body likes the world and everything in the world. The mind, the soul, if you will, it just thinks up all kinds of junk or follows after the junk that's been thought up by others, doesn't it? And that's all it's bent towards. In and of itself, it's been proven, it's been shown. In and of itself, it cannot find God. Knows that there is one that is greater. Knows that there is one that has created us. Knows that. But cannot naturally find the solution. Cannot naturally find that which is needed to fill the void within. So the soul and the body tries this, tries that, tries the other, finds that all of that just won't satisfy, won't fill. It always says, come back for more and come back to a greater degree. Isn't that the way it is with sin? It just says, come back, come back, come back. Never lasts. Maybe brings some happiness for a little while, but always wears off, always gets old, always gets rusty, always becomes less, never gives what it says it promises it will give, and never ever does last, does it? And so the old nature is that way. The old man is that way. And what he's subject to, he says, I am carnal. That's carnality. That's being carnal. That's being in this flesh, living in this world, and just the things of this world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Right? John tells us. So listen to what he says here. Verse number 15. For that which I do, I allow not. I do things that I don't want to do. For what I would that I do not. I want to do some things and I don't do them. But what I hate, that do I. So what is he, schizophrenic? You know? No. No, he's talking about the new man that's within. And different brethren have different ways of talking about it. But that's the direction that he's going here, is to show how we're subject to what. There's the new man that's within. It's this passage that could really, I think, really gives us foundation to say that indeed the old man is just as lost as he ever was. The soul's been saved, but this old flesh isn't saved. Now this old flesh gets saved to some extent by mortification. Right? When he gets corralled, this old mind, when it gets corralled by the new man and the Spirit of God living within to do things that he naturally wouldn't do. He is saved in that sense. But he's saying, some things that I do in this old body, in this old mind, I don't want to do those things. And the things that I want to do, I don't do. And what I hate, I do those things. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. He says, if I go ahead and do some things that I really shouldn't do or I know not to do, how is it that you know it? Oh, by the instruction of the Lord. We know that by the law of God. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, the old man. Again, reasons, not excuses. Reasons, but not excuses. Brother Jim, you would say, Brother Jim, why has the Lord left us like this? why has he done this to us? Well, it's the reason he's done everything else that he's done and going to do is for his honor and glory and praise. Okay? So let us know that and let us rest in that. Let us know that we have help in that. We have prayer. We have the power of the Lord and all the promises. See how it's important to know the promises of the Lord so we can go before our Lord and say, Lord, you said that you would do this. Lord, you said you wouldn't put on me any more than I could bear. Lord, you said that I could find grace to help in time of need at your throne. Lord, you said it. I'm hurting right now. I need some help right now. I've got trouble with this. He goes on to say here, and he's going to make the distinction. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Here it is. For the will is present with me. I want to do right. I want to do good. This is the spiritual at work, isn't it? Right? The new man. Spirit of God living within is present with me. But how to perform that which is good in this old flesh, I find not. Oh, guy, and Brother Willie said he's got to beat that guy to death. Well, got to beat him half to death. He said, if we beat him to death, we'll be out of here. That was so funny when he said that. He had a big old grin on his face when he realized what he said. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. I see the command of the Lord and I want to obey him and I don't. And the evil which I would not, that I do. The command of the Lord shows me that I need to do good, but I don't. I don't. What a strain. Now, if I do that, I would, verse 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Brother Doug, lessons on 1 John presently. And John speaks about it. We're going to sin. We are going to sin. It's not an excuse, but it is a reason for what we do, what we do. It's never for us to lay back on and say, well, I'm going to sin, so just give up. No, we need to strive against sin. We need to strive against sin. We need to hear our Lord. We need to hear his command. We need to hear his word and believe him and trust him in it and follow him in it and fight that good fight of faith, that good fight of faith even within ourselves. Can we say that? You know, we think about the good fight of faith in regards to our dealing with the world and all that, but how about the good fight of faith within even? Because we've got a battle here at hand. Now, if I do that which I would not, verse 20, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. Here's another law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. It's right there on my heels. Now, is the apostle in all this saying, is the apostle saying, the devil was all over me in that? No, he's not laying it on the devil. And he is a great tempter. He's a tempter, an advertiser in this world. Understand, any media that you and I engage, Satan's in the middle of it. Okay? Other than, well, we have some media, don't we? We've got the Baptist Archive and we've got our website. So, but any media that's of this world, Satan's in the middle of it. And what it'll do, it'll just broadcast junk towards us. Need to know that. Need to know that. And we need to be informed about what's going on in the world. But we need to watch what we engage in. He says, so it's not Satan that's on it. It's ourselves. It's this old man. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. It's more descriptive, isn't it? The inward man. The will in verse number 18. That's the spiritual at work. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And he's using that reference to the mind as the new man, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He says, I've been saved. I have been set free. But I still got a battle that I'm fighting, and I am still captive to something. And then he goes on to describe it here, and I heard a description about this years ago that is, I don't know if it's true or not. I've tried to do research to find out if it is or not. But he says this, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See, remember, sin equals death. And the flesh is the problem. Now, we say, well, let's just go ahead and kill ourselves and be done with it. No, God forbid. That wouldn't be honor and glorifying to the Lord. What the Lord says is for me to live. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Okay, see, as the Apostle Paul dealt with those in his day that want to take the grace of God and twist it and be blasphemous about it, said, well, if sin brings the grace of God, let's just keep on sinning. God forbid. No. So we don't need to draw improper conclusions. We need to live for our Lord till he calls us out of here. But as we live, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I heard it told years ago, if it is so that the Romans would take a dead man and they would strap it on the back of someone that they were going, that was, of course, the Romans were big, certainly big on capital punishment. As we know, they crucified our Lord and crucified even some of the apostles and many, millions. But they would take a dead man and tie it to the back of a man that had been condemned. The body of death. They would live until they died with that dead carcass on their back. The body of death. You can imagine as that body would decompose, and not to be morbid and gross, but as that body would be decomposed, it would cause all kinds of problem for the one that was alive. And that's what's going on with us. Our old flesh, our old mind, our old man does deal us fits, doesn't he? And he's full of nothing but death. See why we need to fellowship with our Lord? See why we need his word? See why we need to know his promises? See why we need to pray to him to help us? The Apostle Paul, he's been blessed to see how it really is. He says, O wretched man that I am, I want to do good, and I find it hard to do good. I do things that I shouldn't be doing. It's no good. I don't like it. I don't want to do that. But here I am in this strait. I've got this old flesh and this old man, and I've got the desire of my heart to be obedient to my Lord. O wretched man that I am, he exclaims, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, thank the Lord, the chapter doesn't end right there, does it? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He will deliver us from the body of this death. Again, the great hope that we have of being delivered from this old man and this old flesh. And one day we'll be delivered from that, either by death or by the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Will be rescued from this old man. We'll have a new body like Christ's. And you know what? That flesh will be right in sync with the inner man, with the new man, won't he? and righteousness will abound in us because of the promises and blessings of our Lord. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he ends this chapter. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God and rejoice in the truth of the Lord and his word, his commandments, his law. But with the flesh, the law of sin. That's what this old man does. As we go on into chapter 8, we're going to see more about him answering this question in verse number 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?